But let's get in the Word this morning. We're going to jump in Ezekiel chapter 37 this morning. Ezekiel 37 verse 1 is what we're going to jump into. Ezekiel 37 verse 1, if you're there, say amen. All right. It says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Again he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied, I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, those bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you to the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, thus saith the Lord." We'll stop right there this morning. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. I thank you, Jesus, for your spirit. I thank you for your presence today, Father. So I just thank you as things have already been activated, things have been imparted this morning. I thank you, Lord, for just continuing to speak to our hearts. I thank you for a release today of your word and of your spirit, just a washing of your word, Father. So we just open ourselves to you. We open ourselves to heaven and to what you're speaking through the word this morning, Jesus. So we just thank you today. We just speak a blessing over the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in the text that we read this morning in Ezekiel 37, what's going on here is the Spirit of the Lord had taken the prophet Ezekiel, and he'd taken him to the scene. And it's a very kind of depressing, sad scene where he takes him to. He takes him to a graveyard, to a cemetery. And this place is full of bones. It's got skulls. It's got just bones everywhere that are piled up and stacked up, and he takes them to this scene. It's very, looks like a very hopeless situation. There's nothing good that's going to come out of this. Everything's just dead, and these bones are just dried up, and there's bones just piled up. He takes them to the scene, and really this is just a depiction of the nation of Israel. It's imagery, a picture of what's happened to them, because what had happened is the nation, the people of Babylon, had driven them out into exile, where they basically, in a sense, lost their culture, their customs, their language is deteriorating, and everything's just being broken into pieces. He gives them this picture, and when he gets to this place, the Lord asks him, "Can these bones live?" He poses this question upon Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" And Ezekiel answers back and says, "Oh God, you know, basically says there's no human indication that this can be possible, that this can happen in the natural, that these bones can live, but Lord, that you know that this can happen. You can do it if anybody's able to do it." He brings them to this place and shows them these bones that are just piled up and stacked up to give them this picture. He says, "God, I don't know, but you know, you can do this." So he gives them this picture, this hopeless situation, it looks like. And the scene unfolds. And the question that he asks them, these bones are just piled up, and it looks hopeless, and it looks like there's nothing that's going to come out of this. And God just basically shows him this, that, you know, he's going to bring him hope, that God's going to do something out of this. And I felt like I needed to tell somebody today, you know, that God can bring the dead back to life. That's what he does, is he speaks to Ezekiel, and he tells him, "Hey, can these bones live?" And he says, "I don't know, God, you know," but he says, "You prophesy to the bones. Prophesy that they may live." And that's what he does. He prophesies to the bones, and they begin to rattle. They begin to shake. They begin to come together. And he begins to prophesy life into them. and flesh came upon them, and they began to live again. I don't know what that would look like. That would be kind of crazy to see these bones coming together and flesh coming upon it and life coming into it. He began to prophesy life, and God began to bring the dead back to life. He began to do the impossible. What seemed impossible, he made it possible because that's the God that we serve. And I felt like I needed to tell somebody that it's not over. God says it's not over until he says it's over. It's not over in your life. Sometimes we look at hopeless situations when it looks like it's over, but God says it's not over because God can take the most adverse circumstances and turn them into possibilities. He can take our ashes and turn them into beauty. He can take our mourning and turn it into dancing. He can take our sorrows and turn it into joy. He can take our spirit of heaviness and give us a garment of praise. That's what he is able to do. So the enemy may say, you know what, it's time to tap out. It's over. It's done. It's nothing good is going to happen out of this situation. You're looking at a valley of dry bones. It looks hopeless in the situation right now. And the enemy's like, you know what, you just need to give up, throw in the towel. God's not going to show up. God's not going to do anything. Nothing's going to happen in this. He may be saying that. The bell may have rung. The fat lady sung. But God says, it's not over till I say it's over. I have the final say in your life. Takes the dead and brings it back to life. That's what he does. You know, you look in the Bible and you see Jesus standing at a grave by the name of Lazarus. The guy had been in the grave for like 4 days. The doctor says it was over. The funeral was already over. But here comes Jesus 4 days later. He still has some words to say. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes forth from the dead. It wasn't over until God said it was over. There's a man by the name of Jairus. His daughter was sick. Looked like it was over. And here comes Jesus. Brings healing to her. It wasn't over. Or Daniel in the lion's den. He looks like he's lunch meat. I mean, it's over, man. You get thrown in the lion's den. You're done for. But God says, you know what? It's not over. Or Nebuchadnezzar. You know, when he throws the three amigos in the fiery furnace. And it's like, man, it's done. They're done. They're cooked now. He makes it 7 times hotter than normal. And God's like, it's not over. And there the Son of Man was in the middle of it. Or you look at Job and his wife's like, you know what? It's over, Job. Just curse God. Everything's falling apart. Your life's a mess. God's not going to show up. He's like, I'm not going to do it. And God restored him and gave him more than what he even had before. That's what God does. He brings the dead back to life. Your boss may say it's over. Maybe your counselor says it's over. Maybe a doctor says it's over, but God says it's not over. He can bring a dream back together again. He can bring a relationship back together again. He can bring something that's dead back together again. That's what he does. He specializes in the impossible. That's who he is. So we got to keep fighting, keep believing, keep praying, keep seeking God, keep trusting in him, keep getting in his word, keep worshiping him, because in the middle of that, God is going to blow our minds, I believe. He's going to show up in an awesome way in his power and his glory. And we keep saying, God, I'm going to worship you no matter what. I'm going to praise you no matter what. I'm going to trust you no matter what. Even like the situation looks hopeless around me. It looks like I'm staring at a valley of dry bones. But God, I know you can bring the dead back to life. And you can change everything in a moment. Just one word and you showing up in my life. Keep fighting. Keep praying. Keep believing. I like the scripture in Jeremiah 32:17. It says, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. There's nothing too hard for you. There's nothing too hard for God, right? Sometimes we need reminded of that, that he is not limited in power. He's not limited in what he can do and where he can stretch his hand. There's nothing too hard for him. And sometimes I don't think that way. Sometimes I may think, you know what? Maybe this is too hard for him, but it says there's nothing too hard for God. He's not limited in power in what he can do. We serve a mighty God, a powerful God, a God who's creator of heaven and the earth, who's sovereign, who's on the throne. We serve an amazing God. There's nothing too hard for him to do anything in your life. And you might be staring at a valley of dry bones this morning. The question is, how are you going to respond? How are you going to respond to that? A situation looks hopeless, looks dead, looks like there's nothing going to come out of it. How are you going to respond to that. I've been in many places in those situations where it looks like I'm staring at some dry bones. I'm looking at the valley, and I'm like, I don't know what to do here. I don't know how it's going to pan out, what it's going to look like, but Lord, I know that you will. I've been in many situations. I'm sure a lot of us have been in those places. It's like, God, I don't know. And I can recall a time when my daughter, Krista, was born. Some of you may remember that she was born premature. She was born 1 pound, 6 ounces when she was born. You could just hold her in your hand. She was that tiny, that small. She was born about 2 months early. And she was on all these ventilators, all these breathing machines and feeding tubes, and we had so many complications. And I was a first-time father. I was only like 21. I'm like, I know nothing about parenting, know nothing about this. It's like I was blindsided in life, and I'm staring at this right now. I'm like, God, I don't know what's going to happen here. And we ran into all these complications. We're in about 4 different hospitals. We're in Riley Hospital, IU Hospital, St. Vincent's Hospital, and trying to get her to get out of the breathing machines, to breathe on her own and to eat on her own. It was just like complication after complication. And it got to a point where we're gathered all together with all the top doctors in the place of Riley. There's like 6 or 7 of them. They basically say, you know what? She's not going to live. You better just take her home and enjoy her. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with this right now. I don't even know how to respond to this right now. You're just like blindsided emotionally. You're just trying to process all this. And I'm like, I don't know. And it's like, I've just got to trust God. That's what I began to do. I began to believe on God. It's like, God, I know what you've done in my past, in my life. God, I'm going to trust you and believe you now that you're faithful in this, and you're going to be faithful with my daughter, even though I don't know the outcome or why this is happening in my life right now. God, I'm going to trust you and believe on you that there is nothing too hard for you. And I had to get in that place where I had to trust in God and believe upon him like never before, and use my faith like never before, begin to speak life over her, begin to say she is going to live, that she will grow up and she will serve you, God. Begin to speak over her and over her, speak the opposite of whatever everybody else was speaking. God, I'm going to believe you that she is going to live. I mean, that was a scary moment in my life. First time father, it's like, you're telling me my child's going to die? And it's like, I didn't even know how to process that, but I'm just like, God, I just got on my knees and I began to seek him, begin to pray, begin to, as I traveled back from Indianapolis back and forth, just begin to pray in tongues. Like, I don't even know what to do right now, but God, I'm believing upon you. And I saw God's faithfulness in all. She is alive and well, I'm sure you have seen. And she God is faithful to his promises, and he's seen us through that. And he's just taken a situation, what was meant for evil, to kill, steal, and destroy, and he turned it around for good because he's faithful like that. He will do things like that. Even when situations seem hopeless, he will give you hope. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he comes that we might have life and might have it abundantly. That's his will and desire for us. Sometimes we find ourselves in those situations. I've been in many of those, and I've seen God's goodness and his faithfulness and his heart. I began to understand him to a greater capacity as he revealed himself to me in his nature and his character. How do we respond to those times when we're facing those valleys of dry bones where it looks hopeless, looks dead? How do we respond to that? I think one of the things that Ezekiel did is he remembered what God can do. Remembering what God can do. He said, God, I don't know, but you know. I know you, what you can do. He wasn't saying like, I hope you can do it, but Lord, I know you can, that you are sovereign, that you are God, that you are creator. I know you can do it. Remembering what God can do, that he was faithful to me yesterday, he'll be faithful to me today, he'll be faithful to me tomorrow. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's who God is, and you can trust him. When I remember what he can do and who he is and what he's done in my life, when I begin to recall to my mind the things that God's done in my past and what he's brought me through, where he's been faithful in my life, I begin to recall that to my mind, say, okay, God, I remember what you can do. I remember I've seen your power then. I'll see it today. I'll see it tomorrow. I begin to recall those things of who God is and his nature and his character, and I begin to recall the testimonies in your life, what God has done in your life, and I begin to pull on those things and say, okay, he's done it for you. He'll do it for me as well. I begin to recall those things and bring it to the awareness in the front of my mind and say, okay, God, I remember what you can do. I know you can do this because I know who you are. I know that you're faithful, that you're good, Lord, that you can do this. I begin to recall those things. I begin to remember what God can do. Sometimes I think we overestimate our ability and underestimate His ability. I do that a lot. It's like, you know, if I can get this to work out, take it in my own hands, maybe God connect this right relationship, or I try to figure this out, maybe I can make it happen. We try to be the problem solvers, and when we do that, the game is immediately over from the beginning because we can't figure it out, we can't problem solve on our own. But when God becomes a part of the equation, when we make God a part of the equation, we begin to seek Him. He becomes the problem solver in our lives. It changes the game. He is a game changer. Sometimes we overestimate our ability and underestimate His ability because He is able and He is faithful. We've got to remember what God can do. Something that Ezekiel did is he prophesied to the bones. I think we have to speak our faith. We have to speak in faith. I mean, how did the vision pan out? How did the bones come together? I mean, God could have snapped His finger, 1, 2, 3, live, and the bones came together. But He's like, Ezekiel, you prophesy. You speak to the bones to live. You prophesy life in them, breath in them. You do that. And when He did, the bones came together when He began to prophesy and speak. In other words, hey, preacher, get your preach on. Let it rip, tater chip. Let it fly. I mean, we're all preachers, right? We really are. We're ministers. What are you preaching? What's your sermon every day that you're preaching over your life and over your situations? What are you preaching? What are you prophesying? What are you speaking in your life? Because our words hold weight. They hold power. Our words are spirit, and they are life. You are prophesying over your situation. You're prophesying over your life. You're prophesying over your future. And I hope our words are life and not death, because what the Bible says in Proverbs 18, that life and death are in the power of the tongue, blessing and cursing. To prophesy, to speak over your life, to speak over your situation, that I begin to speak in faith. And when I align my words with God's word, I believe there's power in that, with His power. And God begins to partner with that. He honors that. He uses that. He's looking for that agreement with our language, that it would be on our lips, Lord, that I'm agreeing with Your word. I'm agreeing what Your word says about my life. I'm agreeing what it says about my situation. I'm agreeing that whatever You say, God, I'm going to partner with You, God, with my language, and it's going to be on my lips continually. Speaking in faith, prophesying over your situation. But not only does it change our situation, I believe it changes us in the process when we begin to speak in faith. So when I get up, I want to look in the mirror and say, you know what, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God, and He is faithful, and that every good and perfect gift comes from our Father above, and He wants to give me life and life abundantly. I'm going to speak His word. I'm going to look in the mirror and say, that's who You are, God, and You will be faithful in my life. Speaking in faith, He prophesied over the bones, and the bones came together. I think another thing that happens is God reveals Himself in a new way. When we're looking through valleys and working through dry places, we see God reveal Himself in a new way like we've never seen Him before. It says this in Ezekiel 13:14. I'm just going to reread that. It says, "And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord." He says, then you shall know that I am your Lord. I mean, did they already know God? They knew Him. They heard the stories of the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. They knew Him of their patriarchs. They knew of Him. But what God is saying, when I bring you through this place of desolation, when I bring you through this valley of dry bones, I'm going to reveal myself. You're going to know me in a greater capacity on the other side of this. You're going to have a greater understanding of who I am. You're going to have a deeper intimacy with me as we walk through this valley, as I take you through this place of desolation. You're going to understand me in a greater capacity. I'm going to reveal myself in a new way. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but when I've gone through those times of hopelessness or places of desolation where things look lost and God walks with me through it, I see Him in a whole different way. I'm like, wow, I can trust You at a whole different level. It's like, wow, you are faithful to me. It's like, wow, You really are good in my life. It's like, wow, Your heart is really for me. It's like, wow, God, you are amazing. Wow, I can trust you, and I don't have to fear when I walk through the valley of shadow of death. It's like, wow, you do stick closer to me than a brother sticks to me. It's like, wow, you've never forsaken me, never left me. It's like he reveals himself in a new way. It's like, man, I see you now as my deliverer. I see you now as my healer. I see you now as my strong tower, my fortress. I see you in a whole different way that I never saw you before. He reveals himself in a new way to us. There's so many times it's like I step back, it's like, man, God, you're so amazing and you're so good, and I've never experienced you. I didn't understand you like that. But when we walk through those places of desolation, when God brings us through those places, he reveals himself to us. And we understand him to a greater capacity in his heart for us and who he is and what he's about. He brings the dead back to life. There's nothing too hopeless for him, right? He's the God of the impossible. It's what he specializes in. When it's impossible with men, it's possible with God. All things are possible with him. Nothing is too hard for him. He takes our most adverse circumstances, turns them into possibilities. That's what he does. And I really felt like this morning that I needed to tell somebody that God says, it's not over until he says, it's over. May look like it's over, but it's not over with him. I wanted to pray for us this morning. Well, first of all, Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness, Jesus. Lord, that nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing is too hard for you. Lord, you're not limited in power in what you can do, Jesus. But Lord, we just acknowledge you today that you are strong, that you are our God, that you are our Father. And Lord, we can trust in you today. We can believe upon you today, Jesus. So if there's some of us today that are looking at a valley that looks hopeless, looks dead, I believe God wants to restore it. He wants to bring life to it. He wants to turn it around. He wants to bring you through that place of desolation this morning. That we serve a God of hope this morning. So if that's you today, I just want you to stand, and I want to pray for you this morning. If you're in that place of saying, you know what? Things look dead in this situation. Looks impossible. Don't know how it's going to pan out. Don't know how it's going to work out. But I'm believing upon you, Jesus. I'm going to trust in you. I'm not going to stop believing. I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop pressing into you. But Lord, we just say right now, we press into you. We believe upon you, Jesus, right now. So for those of you that are standing this morning, say, you know what, God, we're believing upon you. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the faith, enduring kind of faith. Lord, not to give up, not to back up, not to let down, not to believe the lies of the enemy, to throw in the towel, that the bell has rung, but Lord, you say it's not over. So I thank you, Father, for bringing life into their situations and situations that might be dead, that, Lord, that you're going to turn it around for your good, Jesus. So I thank you, Father, as we're walking through different things, it all looks different to each and every one of us. Father, I just thank you, Lord, we say we trust you this morning. We believe that you are faithful. We believe that you are good, even though we don't know how it's going to pan out, how it's going to work out, Lord. But Lord, we know that we can trust in you because there's nothing too hard for you, and your heart is for us and for us to succeed, Lord. So with all the questions and all the unknowns and, Lord, in the deepest, darkest places, Lord, maybe in our lives, Lord, we thank you for illuminating light on our situations. We thank you, Father, for bringing life. We speak life. We prophesy life. We speak to the things that are dead. We speak to them to come to life this morning, Jesus. So I thank you for relationships being restored, dreams being brought back together. I thank you for, Lord, maybe businesses coming back together today. I thank you for bringing things back together this morning, Father, that might have been broken. So I thank you, Father. We're going to speak. We're going to prophesy over our situation, over our lives today. And we speak for life. We speak for your blessing. We speak forth your word. So we just trust in you this morning, Jesus. Thank you for your heart towards us this morning, Father. Lord, I think as we walk through these things, we're going to see you in a whole different capacity, that you're going to reveal yourself in a whole new way like we've never experienced before, Jesus. So I thank you, Father, that we're going to know your heart, know your nature, know your character to a greater capacity, a greater understanding, and a greater intimacy with you as we walk with you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're with us this morning. I thank you for speaking hearts specifically to things today. We release peace. We release hope. We release joy. We release your goodness. We release your blessing. And we release your life today, Jesus. So we thank you, Father. But it's not over until you say it's over. And you have the final say, that you're on the throne, that you're sovereign. And we trust in you today, Jesus. So I thank you, Father. I just thank you, Jesus. Can we just thank him for a moment? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Father, that you were faithful yesterday. You'll be faithful today and tomorrow. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we just press into you. We lean upon you, Father. Not trusting in our own understanding, but trusting in you, Father. So we just love you today, Jesus. Thank you for your heart. Thank you that you never left us nor forsaken us. Thank you for the power of your Spirit within each and every one of us today. Thank you for your word that you've given us, Father. We just thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness, all that you are, Jesus. We just are going to be a people that's going to trust in you and believe upon you. And I thank you for a greater testimony as you bring us through these places of desolation, these places and valleys of dry bones, of hopeless situations. And Lord, we thank you for the hope that you give us. We're going to give to others that may be walking through something similar. We're going to give that away and encourage one another, encourage each other, Lord, because you've given us that hope and that understanding of who you are and what you've done and what you're about, Jesus. So I just speak a blessing over your people today. If there's anybody today that says, you know what, I want to receive Christ as my Savior this morning, of my life. I just want you to raise your hand. I just want to pray for you today. Well, Father, I just release a blessing over your people today. We thank you as we leave this place today. We thank you for you just continuing to speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. We thank you for a release of joy and peace and of hope, and we are a hopeful people. So I thank you, Father, for your heart towards us and for your goodness today, Jesus. And I just bless your people this morning. Lord, we thank you today. We just thank you, Father, for not leaving us. We're working for all things for good in our lives today, Father. We just bless you, and we thank you for these things, Jesus. In your mighty name, amen and amen.